Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Sorry, I just laughed to myself during that intro because it's like full of despair. And I was like, no despair over here.
No.
And then it said relegation. And I was like, oh yeah, no, nothing's changed since we had that intro 4 years ago.
Well, MLS-wise, there's no despair because both our teams made the playoffs, which was brilliant. Orlando and Atlanta, same points as well, which was nice, really. We didn't want to separate us.
I don't know whether to credit Atlanta with the big comeback or to just highlight how terrible Orlando must have been for you to finish above us, but we're both in, and I think deep down we both agree that unless you're finishing in the top four, it's kind of irrelevant. We're in, and now it starts.
Yeah, I think what's funny is obviously decision day was, as we record this, yesterday, so we are going to cover that quite a lot, probably for 80% of the podcast today. But it is funny when you watch teams like RSL who get in at the very last minute, and we always say this, I'm glad there's a 2 week break now until the start, because in the past there's been 4 days and teams have been set, like I remember San Jose pipped FC Dallas 2-1 2-1. 4 days later, they were out. There were all these celebrations, and then, oh, well, you're out four days later. So at least RSL have a bit of time.
I remember that. That was mad.
Yeah, it was. So, the scenes yesterday, as I said, we're going to talk about this in depth later on the podcast, but the scenes yesterday were incredible. And it's what we love about MLS. I know there's big discussion on promotion and relegation, and maybe we'd have this every season if relegation was a thing. But, you know, the teams and the way that it was celebrated just to get in the playoffs was fantastic. And it was great to see. It was not if you support some teams, but for others, it was brilliant to see. But it was a wonderful night.
Do you know what it felt like for me was actually in reality, because there were so few spots and so many teams going for it. It felt like for me, like the playoffs had already begun. Because, for example, like Orlando needed a result. There was teams that needed 3 points. Otherwise, they were out. It was win and you're in.
Yeah.
It kind of just felt like an extension to the playoffs. It's like Christmas come early.
Yeah, and I actually thought that it was like Christmas with every team playing on the same night. It was brilliant.
Time as well.
Yeah, for us in the UK, it was 8:30 for the East and 11 o'clock at night for the West. So good times for us. And yeah, it was brilliant. And it's a shame that sort of thing doesn't happen more. And I know it can only really happen on decision day, and that builds up decision day. But I don't know, maybe once or twice in the season, just throw in a... Go on, we'll play... Everyone can play on the same night.
Double points, everyone play on the same night.
Yes, instead of rivalry week, it's double points week.
At MLS, what are you saying?
Before we kick off the show with a game with a change of name, I want to mention him here because I think it's only respectful to mention him on his own little bit. Chris Wondolowski is officially retired. We thought he might do it last year.
I don't believe it. Until he's not starting that first game of the season, I don't believe it.
What a career he's had. 171 goals he ended on in the end. It's an MLS record. And it's just... It's Chris Wondolowski to score in his last game, wasn't it? He wasn't going to do anything else. He wasn't going to have a quiet game on his last game.
Do you remember a couple of years ago how long we waited for him to break that record?
Wondo watch. Hashtag Wondo watch, yeah. I was going to tweet that out yesterday going, it's been Wondo watch until he retires. But no, fantastic career. And I've got to admit, when he was on the pitch yesterday at the end of the game and he was doing his little speech, I got a bit teary, you know. It's Wondo. It's we've been in this league. We've been following this league for 4 or 5 years now. And obviously we've just got the back end of Wondolowski's career, but it's still Wondo. He's an MLS legend.
I think that's the thing, is that we've come to this late and we still know how much of a legend he is. Obviously because we can read and you can see the stats, but I think there's more to it than that. I think everyone's very emotionally connected to Wondo in one way or another, whether you're a Quakes fan or not, whether you don't even, you know, follow the US men's national team from back in the day or what, you know, I think it's just, he's just got that something special. It's really sad.
Yeah.
What do you think's next? What do you think's next for him?
Oh, for him, I think there's a role somewhere at San Jose for him. Although he might go into TV work. You know, this is the thing. When you're a legend like that and you are MLS's record goal scorer, you could literally do whatever you want. If he wanted to go down the head coach route, a team will take him on. If he wanted to be like a GM, San Jose, I don't want to push San Jose's GM out.
Houston?
Maybe. Or he could just do TV work. I'm sure they'll have him. He seems like a bit of a character. He can do TV stuff. So
Norwich are looking for a manager.
But credit to him. I know some US national team fans have not forgiven him for the whole miss in the World Cup. But as two Brits who... I think England were already out of that World Cup at the time he did that, so it doesn't matter to us. Shout out to Kyle Beckerman as well. I know he retired last year, but RSL have been celebrating him this week. And so a fact I learned about Beckerman was he'd been playing that long that he actually played some games for Miami Fusion.
I knew this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. And he, 350 games he played for RSL. He also played 145 for Colorado. So he's a proper Rocky Mountain legend.
And they put him in the pitch.
Yeah.
His face was on the pitch.
Literally. And the biggest credit of the whole month has to go to the groundsman who did that. That's fair play. Because as someone who struggles when mowing his lawn to actually not miss bits out, that is impressive.
Yeah, mine puts the lines on, but that means you have to actually walk in a straight line, which I'm not capable of. Mm. But yeah, two legends. And Wondo, I'm fascinated. On the spot, say, it's not going to happen, it's going to be a few years, but say he becomes a coach next season, and it's not for San Jose, where do you put him?
Let Cincy have him. He can't do any worse, can
he? No, he deserves better than that.
He does, yeah. But, you know, Cincy, let's face it, you win 5 games for Cincy and you've done an improvement on this year, so...
Austin?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd say Austin. Yeah. I think there's so much potential there.
Oh, there is, yeah. And I think I watched the game against SKC last week. And, the crowd there were fantastic. You know, they've really bought into the project, even though they've had we say, what do we expect from Austin? So it's not really been a poor season. It's probably been a disappointing season, but the fans are still there.
I said they'd make the playoffs, so.
Well, we said a lot of things this season that haven't come true. One or two that have come true, but a lot that certainly didn't. Right, let's get cracking then. Game with a changing name.
So we're about to hear the career path of a player who played in MLS and in the UK. And this is one of those players that I thought of and I went, have we done him? And I had to check the records and we haven't.
Right.
I'm surprised we haven't, but here is their career path. Okay, they started their career with Midtjylland, 84 appearances in 2005 to 2010.
Denmark, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then West Ham United, 2010 to 2021. 194 appearances.
What, in 11 years?
Yeah.
That's not very good. Was he injury prone?
Scored 9 goals. Oh. And then went to MLS on loan, a team that was promoted last year from the Championship.
Okay.
I had no idea that he was there. That's mad. I thought this guy retired years ago.
Give us a clue with the MLS team. What conference?
West.
West, right. I think I know. I've got a feeling no, because he's not from any of those countries, is he? He's not from Denmark, England, or America, or Canada. Right, okay. If you know, let us know, at MLS UK Show.
Did you know that he played there last year?
I think, yeah, I did. I did read that somewhere. Is it... it's not your team that got promoted.
No.
And it's not the other team that have been in the Premier League before.
No.
No. Yeah, so I think I know it is. If you know, at MLS UK Show, tweet us, Instagram us, where you are in the podcast when you figure it out. Or if you're watching on YouTube, just put it in the comments below because it timestamps it. And we know then that you're not cheating. You're not going to the end, finding the answer and coming back.
And can I just apologise? Despite knowing the answer, even I was surprised at their career path then. So I apologise, but...
Well, it's an improvement on last week when you'd never even heard of the player before.
That is true. I still haven't. I still have no idea who it was.
The MLS UK Show.
This season's MLS UK Show is brought to you by Soccer 90. Go and visit them at soccer90.com for all your MLS merch needs, especially if your team are in the playoffs and you need to rep their colours.
Yep, if your team's not in the playoffs and you want a European shirt, maybe a Premier League, I think they've got some La Liga teams as well, they've got PSG stock in, then when you go there, put some stuff in your checkout, and if you add the code MLSUK, you get an extra 25% off as well.
The PSG stuff's so nice. Check out as well on our Twitter, at MLSUK Show, you can see Soccer 90's 90 Second Soccer as we preview some of the biggest games of the MLS weekend.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
So decision day was this weekend and it did not disappoint. We get accused of some Eastern bias on this show, so we're going to start with the West, which had an incredible ending to it. But on the lead up to that ending, I think the highlight game, the big game, especially the one with the most goals, was Colorado 5, LAFC 2. For me, forget Leicester City. Forget the Miracle on Ice. Colorado finishing top of the West is the true underdog story of our generation. Of all generations. I did not expect it.
Bigger than Leicester?
Sure. You know, Leicester came from almost getting relegated to winning the Premier League. But, I mean, this is Colorado Rapids. They did okay last year, but I didn't think they'd finish top of the West.
Some people aren't as surprised as you, Henry. If you listen back to the last episode, I literally said that they could win it.
You did. I mean...
You went, nah, unlikely.
I said unlikely, yeah. I would argue that it's not you saying it at the start of a season. It's you saying it in a three-horse race. But you did say they could do. But Robin Fraser, if it weren't for Bruce Arena, would he be a shoo-in for Coach of the Year?
I think so. Yeah. Just because of what he's got from the roster. The roster that 3 years ago we said was really good and would do really well and didn't.
Eventually did.
Has now come good. You know, we just saw so much potential in it. But no, in all seriousness, I think he's got a lot out of a roster. Not a bad roster by any stretch of the imagination, but he's I think it's outperformed. I think it's outperformed the roster, and that is where you look to the coach.
Yeah, and I think credit as well goes to this weekend because it was a three-horse race. You look at SKC at home to RSL, Seattle away at Vancouver, and Colorado was just the third game. You thought, well, Colorado, the way both them and LAFC are playing, Colorado will probably win, although LAFC need points to try and get in the playoffs. And you kind of forgot about it. Then as the night went on and you saw that Seattle were drawing, SKC were drawing, and you saw Colorado go 3-0 up, you thought, hang on a minute, these could actually finish top. And they did. They smashed LAFC. And, an incredible season. The pressure's on now for Colorado because they've kind of gone under the radar all season. Now they've got the bye. They're in the next phase of the playoffs. And suddenly, a few more people are expecting something from Colorado. So we'll see how they do in the playoffs. But even if they lost the first game in the playoffs, well, their first game, it's still been an incredible season. And hopefully, something that they can really build on.
Yeah, I mean... They're gonna play Portland or Minnesota. Winnable game for them. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely winnable game. Now, it's nothing against Portland or Minnesota, but there's no reason that all of a sudden they don't find themselves in the conference finals. And from that point on, I mean, we've seen enough MLS playoffs. Yeah. They're wild. Absolutely anything could happen. So it could easily come up against Kansas, and that could go either way.
LAFC then, they finish in ninth. Bob Bradley, does he get another chance? Has he got enough stock to get another chance? Or is it better for LAFC just to move on now and try something new?
Strange with LAFC. Strange. They've gone from that. I remember a couple of years ago where we literally didn't understand how they even got all those players on one roster, because it's like, well, isn't there a salary cap? Like, it was so confusing how they achieved that. And now you sort of think, what's happened? What's gone wrong there? How has that been mismanaged? And how have they not made the playoffs even with what they've still got on the roster? I'd like to see who's in the frame for that before I answer that question. Are you going to bring in somebody with more experience than Bob Bradley? Because, okay, he's had a poor season, but you have to bring in somebody like a Bruce Arena who's going to take them to the next level, surely.
Yeah. I mean, you have got to be careful in MLS because it's such a unique league. We have said this season, all the way through this season, you need experience with MLS. We use Greg Vanney as an example, and suddenly LA Galaxy are not in the playoffs. So maybe that doesn't work. Maybe the Bruce Arena is just a unique, extraordinary manager.
But Columbus are also not in the playoffs. You know, there's a lot of experience that's not made it this year, which is bizarre.
Yeah, so how LAFC, because Bob Bradley's been there since the very start, how they might keep him in the job, they might give him another chance. I mean, they've got the players there. Okay, Carlos Vela hasn't had much of a season, but you look at Arango's come in and scored like 14 in 17 or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, they have got the players there. If he doesn't get another chance, it's going to be really interesting to see where they go, because they've had Bob Bradley since the start. So it's not like they've got a style or a, you know, you look at some teams and you think, okay, they're going to go South American, that's their thing. Yeah. Or other teams might go European. We don't know with LAFC. So it's exciting, interesting, and intriguing as well. Because if you ask me there, who are they going to get or who's in the frame? I honestly don't know.
No, I'd have to agree. And I don't know what the direction is. So I think I don't have a problem with Bradley staying. But I think there either needs to be a change in coach or there needs to be a change in the roster. Something's not worked there.
Well, we've said before, I don't think they've replaced Walker Zimmerman, have they really?
No.
And that was a while ago now. Let's go over to LA Galaxy then. LA Galaxy, who, it happened again. They were in pole position going into the last game. Well, to use lack of a better term, they've ballsed it up. So it ended 3-3 against Minnesota. By the way, this was our MLS UK Show Championship game this weekend. So the MLS UK Show Championship will be going into the playoffs.
Yep.
Minnesota won it off SKC. Let's talk about LA Galaxy first, because I've got some things to say on Minnesota as well. But Galaxy, I've never been below 7th all season. Comes the 34th game and these two finals. It's just...
They've MLS'd themselves. We talk about this a lot on the show. The thing we love about this league, for example, I just mentioned it, Columbus won it last year, not in the playoffs this year. The way that things can turn around so quickly. And obviously LA Galaxy been dominant previously. Not so much since we've been there. I know they've made the playoffs, but they've not really particularly been...
But they've won the most MLS Cups, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. But recently not so much. So they've MLS'd themselves. I think when you get to the end of the season and you're relying, and I'm talking about Atlanta and Orlando in the East as well, which we'll come to, and Montreal, I just genuinely believe you have to put yourself in a stronger position. You know it's going to be tight. How many times have they missed out? Do you remember when they missed out to 1 point off Vancouver previously?
Yeah.
They've been victims of this before, and you have to put yourself in a stronger position. And ultimately, it's the lowest they've been all season. But it happens, and it happens regularly.
But it was building up to it as well. We spoke
could see
about
it.
Yeah, we spoke about their form going into the end. And the fact for LA Galaxy is they will look back at the form at the end of a season and think, if we could have just got one win or turned a defeat into a draw or a couple of draws, then they would be in the playoffs right now, and they just didn't. And, you know, this is a game, prime example. They were never in front. They were 2-0 down at one point, but we just didn't have that to go on. And, I mean, Minnesota missed the penalty right at the end, so they could have actually lost it as well. But for me, the big thing for LA Galaxy this year, and the thing that it kind of gives me a bit of hope from going forward. I know they've missed playoffs 4 in the last 5 years, and we've discussed before about whether it's a mentality thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicharito was, what was he, 2 off winning the Golden Boot, and he missed a quarter of the season. I think he missed, or a third of the season. I think he missed 12 games. If he'd have played in 6 of those, he would have probably won what Golden Boot, and they would be in the playoffs. They could, the way it's fallen, they could easily have been challenging Portland for that 4th spot. So, yeah, they've not really had the rub of the green, but LA Galaxy, even though they've not made playoffs in 4 of the last 5 years, we expect more from them. We expected more with Greg Vanney in it. We expected more with the start they had as well. Remember that start?
Yeah.
And we were looking and thinking, these could actually, is this the season Galaxy challenge for MLS Cup?
I thought so.
And again, they failed at the end.
Because we said in our first episode before a ball was kicked, we said it's all about how Chicharito bounces back this year. Mm. And he more than did that.
Yeah.
You know, something stupid like 8 goals in 2 games or something mad. And, you know, if that would have continued, they'd have had absolutely no problem.
Yeah.
But conceding goals, I mean, last night's a perfect example. 3-3, classic MLS game, 6 goals. But, you know, conceding 3 goals on a day where you desperately need a win, like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. The third goal, which was an own goal from LA Galaxy for Minnesota, because it came off the defender's shin and went in. Stuart Holden on commentary called it a shin and tonic, which really made me laugh. He's clearly challenging Ray Hudson.
Absolutely. He wants a feature on the show.
Minnesota then become the fourth team in 20 years, only the fourth team to lose their first four games and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think we kind of believed they were better than they were showing in the early stages. And I think we knew that it was coming. Not a lot had changed.
No.
And I think maybe I criticised them for that, because maybe that was the issue. They hadn't strengthened. But fair play. I think finishing above Vancouver and RSL in hindsight is a very good achievement.
Yeah, it is. Shout out, though, LA Galaxy. It's not all bad. Adidas have released some LA Galaxy Gazelle trainers.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I mean, that's
to celebrate the fans over the last 25, 26 years. So it's not all bad. At least they can style it out watching the playoffs on the telly.
Won't need trainers because they won't need to leave the house.
They won't do. Not involved yet again. Let's look at the contenders then. Go back to the contenders for the top spot. We've already spoke about Colorado. They obviously did it. Seattle and SKC. Seattle were in... they were the favourites. They were away at Vancouver. Mm. And I know Vancouver were going for that playoff spot, and they did get it. They drew 1-1. Seattle, though, they'll look at their last, what is it? They're winless in 6 now at the end. Again, it's fine margins, and you just win one of them, and they finish top of the West. They get that bye in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and ultimately, what's surprised me the most is you talk about them being winless, but it's actually they've lost a game more than Colorado. And I think that's what would have surprised you before a ball was kicked this season. You said, right, Seattle are going to lose more games than Colorado. You would have been really, really surprised. Yeah. It's not necessarily about the winless run. It's actually, you know, picking up those points. The ties are crucial. The points are crucial. The crazy thing is, and it sounds so boring, you still think Seattle are going to go and win MLS Cup because it's Seattle.
Yeah, they're automatically favourites in the West to get to the to MLS Cup just by default, because it is Seattle.
And it is boring, but it's lazy, but it's also true.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Vancouver just for a moment. First time they're in the playoffs in 2017. I mean, fair play to Vancouver, because at the start of the season we did worry about them. We thought, is it going to be another season where they end up like Cincinnati or Houston, you know, just sort of just fodder in the league? But they've actually come and got in the playoffs. We got a message on Twitter by a guy, Craig K Tips, who said, on your next episode, are you going to talk about how amazing Ryan Gold is? So Elliot, we've got the trumpet on there.
Ready?
Go on. Yeah, he's amazing.
He's all right, isn't he?
Yeah. He scored 4 and assisted 6 in 18 games. He's played for Vancouver. And he has been a difference. I think, you know, a player like him has helped push them over the line.
He's all right, isn't he?
Yeah. So SKC then. So they finished third. going into their game with RSL, and what RSL obviously needed a win. They got the win in the end, 95th minute. I mean, the drama was incredible. I was watching the LA Galaxy game, and when the results, the score came in, it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, he's like that. Is it the office gif where they're running around?
It's happening.
Like, wow. So RSL, I said on Twitter, though, I said, even though I'm gutted for LA Galaxy fans, you've got to give credit for RSL. We dug in there. They had a change. Freddy Juarez left in the middle of a season. And we said on the podcast, we said...
Harsh.
Are they going to now push on? I don't think so. I think they're just going to end the season. Mm. And they certainly have pulled out all the stops. And the thing is, leading into this game, they had games in hand, which they didn't win. And you kind of thought, oh, well, that's their chance gone. Yeah. They're not going to win at SKC. And they dug in and got the win right at the end. Incredible.
There'll be massive underdogs in the playoffs. And maybe stand a better chance than you think.
Yeah, well, they're going to play old head coach Freddy Juarez's new side, which is he's the assistant for in Seattle. So a bit of revenge, maybe. But yeah, RSL, have that said, they've crept in. Let's face it, if you are gonna put a bet on it, you're gonna say that they're not gonna get much further. No. But they are a side that they've shown there, they dig in, they play for each other, they've got some good players. You never know with playoffs, they could go quite far.
This is the thing, cliche. These playoffs have been crazy, especially since they've gone to just the one leg.
Yeah.
They really are. It's everything on the line and anything can happen. We've seen some crazy, crazy results in the last few years. So there's no reason why you'd bet against Vancouver and RSL just because they finished down the bottom there. There's no reason why they couldn't progress.
Exactly, yeah. Vancouver, 25,000 there, which is great to see. It's great to see that it's same with Chicago the other week. It's great when cities are starting to really get behind their MLS team. Portland finished fourth then in the end. I mean, Portland, this was a dead game really against Austin because Austin were already out. Houston weren't playing because they were the extra team, so they knew they weren't going to finish bottom of the conference. Portland were always going to finish fourth. So a 3-0 win for Portland. I guess that sort of unbeaten run, the winning run they had through September has got them to fourth.
This is what I was saying about LA Galaxy and how they haven't protected themselves against that final game of the season. Portland, the opposite, got themselves in a really nice run through September, got themselves to a point where they were guaranteed that home berth regardless. They were relaxed. That's why they got the victory at the end of the day. Simply lovely.
Yeah, and they won the most games at home in the West. So to get that home game in the playoffs could be vital for them. Obviously, they're not going to play at home all the way through to the MLS Cup, should they get there. But just to get that first win on the board could be vital. And Minnesota coming to play Portland, that's one of the games I'm looking forward to the most in the playoffs, because that could be a tasty game, that.
Yeah, 6 points between them. And ultimately, Portland have been way more ruthless than Minnesota. Mm. A lot more wins under their belt, but means nothing.
No, it doesn't. And especially Vespria can pull off another overhead kick. That happened just after our last episode. Incredible.
And it was shown everywhere, even here in the UK. It was everywhere. It was on Soccer AM. It was on Sky Sports News. Love to see it.
Rounding off the West then, I think, with San Jose versus FC Dallas. I mean, we've spoke. This game will be remembered for Wando. It will be remembered for the game that Wando scored in and then retired. I mean, obviously, both sides were out going into it. San Jose end up 7 points off the playoffs. Dallas, though, 15 points off the playoffs. This is the first time since 2017 they missed out on the playoffs. So it's just been a bad season, hasn't it, for them?
Yeah, disappointing, to be honest, because I think with the way that America in general has been churning out talent, especially moving abroad, I think Dallas have been integral to that. So you kind of were hoping that that was now going to come good for them, in the same way that it's come good for Philadelphia Union, and they're now a pretty good staple side.
Yeah.
At the top there. Excuse my phone going off. Now I feel like they've really suffered by maybe losing the players that they've lost. There's a lot of pressure on them now to retain certain players as well. Managerial change. Next year's crucial. Next year's massive.
Yeah, well, I think what happens in the close season, who they keep, like you said, who they recruit, that'll tell us where FC Dallas will be next year. Because I know the fans, there were a few banners going up in some games this year. I know they're not 100% happy with how things have gone on. I don't think, Gonzalez was a good manager. I like Lucci and he was on the show as well. But I don't think they've really replaced Perea. with someone who is going to get them to that next level, who's going to get them in the playoffs, and then push them on to maybe challenging for MLS Cup.
I mean, ultimately, three teams in Texas, 11th, 12th, 13th, the bottom three places. You've got, that's, you know, a huge part of the States. You've got LA, one of the big headline cities in the country.
Well, California. And Texas are all out in the West.
California and Texas, literally all out. And then, you know, look elsewhere, New York represented in the playoffs.
Half of Florida.
Florida is a holiday destination. Florida's big over here in terms of, you know, America. Half of Florida made that, but we'll get onto that shortly. But yeah, I think when you look at the likes of California and Texas with no representation in the playoffs, that's bizarre.
It is. Those playoff matches have been confirmed. As we record now, it's not been confirmed when they are or what order they're in. But as we've said, Colorado have got a bye. They're into the next phase. Seattle v. RSL, SKC v. Vancouver, and Portland versus Minnesota. We are going to record an episode just before the playoffs, like a playoff preview. So we'll be doing our predictions then.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK show.
So let's take a look at the East, because we never talk about the East. We'll start with Toronto, because Toronto played DC, and at the end of the day, this was maybe one of the games that had the least riding on it. It was the most unlikely team that were going to make it.
Yeah, well, DC, they could have got into the playoffs, but they would have, I mean, they were relying on scoring a lot of goals and Red Bulls not getting anything and stuff like that. So probably not going to happen. Although DC did start very well, 3-1 at half time. They did start scoring goals. Ola Kamara got two, and he ended joint with Castellanos for the golden boot, but didn't quite get it because of assists.
Yeah, first of all, I hate that. Just get two awards. He deserves it. It's based on goals. What are you suddenly bringing assists into it for? But anyway, side note, I worried for them a little bit because Toronto came back into it. Larea got the goal to make it 1-1, and you thought maybe Toronto are about to do something finally. But in terms of DC, are you surprised at where they finished this season?
Not really. I think when you look at the change that came in, Ben Olsen had been there a long time and now Lasada's in. I think naturally you kind of look at sides like that and think, well, they're going to probably finish in and around the playoffs, but it'd be eighth. So I think I didn't think they were going to trouble the top of the standings. And then after the start, they had the different type of play, the goals they were scoring, you kind of felt, well, they'll do enough to not be challenged by Cincinnati and Toronto and Chicago. So, yeah, I think Apes probably a fair position for them. But also, there's enough there to show me that there's stuff to build on for next year.
Playoffs next year?
Yeah, I don't see why not. See how they're doing the close season, see how they build the squad. And yeah, I think they've got the head coach in place to do it.
For Toronto, obviously not many positives other than the season's over. Where do they go from here? Is it a case of LA Galaxy where it's end of an era? Because that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I think they've still got one or two players still hanging around from that sort of golden period for Toronto. I know Justin Morrow's leaving. He had his last game against DC. You've still got the likes of Altidore there. I don't know how long he's going to stay, but I think they just need a rebuild. They've got a new head coach in. They just need a whole new roster just to start again. It may take them a few years, but in the meantime, just see what they can get. I mean, they've got a Canadian Championship final to look forward to against Montreal. So maybe it's just, you know, winning the odd trophy in that. Through that, they'll get in the Champions League. So that's more experience for them. So, yeah, it is going to need a rebuild, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's a case of how many years. I think they need to be patient. We've seen, as I mentioned, LA Galaxy, period of dominance. Then the tides change a little bit. I think it's going to be the same at Toronto. I'd be amazed if they're suddenly straight up there to next season. But ultimately, I think it just, like you mentioned, Altidore just feels a bit old hat now. Morrow, I think, yeah, big changes required. And you maybe take the hit next year. You're going to make changes. It's not all going to come together just like that. But yeah, certainly think that there's work to be done there on the roster, especially. Speaking of which, where do we go with Columbus? Columbus won MLS Cup last season. Why are they now so far down this season? What's gone wrong?
Only the fifth champion not to make the playoffs in MLS history. Third in the last 6 years, though. So maybe that's something to look at. Maybe the league is becoming less so of the haves and the have-nots. Maybe it's like a league now where it is... You look at Seattle, you look at that Toronto side who did put a few MLS Cups in a row together and think, actually, you've got to give them praise. They built something there when the majority of teams, quite clearly, in the last 6 years... don't do that. They have one good season and then they fall off. So Columbus have just fallen into that bracket. To be fair, the way that they had at August time, where I think they lost 10 in a row or something like that, to finish 1 point off the playoffs isn't a bad effort in the end. On the whole, no, it's not good enough. They should be well within the playoffs. But I think when you look at the last month, 2 months, they almost clawed it back. So again, they've got the players there. They've got the head coach there. They've now got the stadium, because at the start of the season, they were still in the old stadium. We had the whole thing with the rebrand. So it has been a bit of a mismatched season, similar to Toronto, funnily enough, with them playing in Florida at the start and it just not quite being settled. But I'd be surprised if Columbus were ninth next year, put it that way. You know, you look at Zellerian scored that great goal. Yeah. They've still got players like that.
Can I put you on the spot? This is an unpopular opinion. Lower.com field.
Yeah.
I find it really drab. It's a brand new stadium. Nothing about it excites me.
I think
even in appearance, it's just a bit.
Well, I think it's the thing now with a lot of MLS stadiums, and you could argue the same with Austin, and the same is going to be with Nashville with their new stadiums. A lot of them kind of look very similar. And we've had this problem in England where, you know, you look at Southampton, Leicester, Cardiff, all these sort of, I think they're known as the tissue box stadiums, where they just look the same. There's no character to them. There's nothing that, apart from the colour of the seats. So I think maybe MLS are going through something like that. I think Columbus have got the fan base to own it. And they've got the fan base who, I know a lot of them did love the last stadium. So maybe there's still a bit of few fans just being like, well, we prefer the old place, where I say Austin didn't do that. Austin have not got an old place.
But the Austin Stadium excites me. There's something about it.
Isn't that not just the fans, though, and how they are?
I don't know. Like, on the outside, like, there's a bit of stuff to look at, a bit of colour. I don't know. Just like the flat roof. I don't know. Something about it. It's just not feeling it. But it's clearly an unpopular opinion.
Are you the same with Cincinnati Stadium then, or do you think they fall more in the Austin?
I think the Cincinnati one's more exciting to look at than lower.com. But yeah, it's just a bit nothing for me.
Well, I think I think Columbus, let's speak about it again next year. If Columbus have a good season next year, the fans are really getting behind the team, maybe we'll think differently. We don't know. But they ended the season winning 2-0 to Chicago. Going off what Chicago fans were saying, I think they were just happy the season is over.
Yeah.
We don't know what to expect with Chicago. I don't think either of us, and I don't think many people in MLS actually expect a lot from Chicago right now. And it's been like that for a few years, and it's just sad.
Yeah, I mean, finished way ahead of Toronto and Cincinnati, but I mean, if that's what you're looking at for your plus from the season, probably not a great one. 9 wins, poor.
Yeah, very poor. Right, we're going to get into the playoff picture just in a moment, but I think it's only fair to now go to New England Revolution. They picked up the Supporters' Shield trophy. They got a record points tally. We've talked loads about New England Revolution this season. Mm. We've said how great they are.
Yeah, they're all right.
19 points clear of Philadelphia in the end, who were second in the East. Mm-hmm. New England Revolution, then. We have known they're going to win Supporters' Shield for a long time. Now the pressure's on. Not many teams win Supporters' Shield and win MLS Cup. They've got a bye in the first playoff round. They're going to be at home throughout. They'll even be at home in the MLS Cup if they get there. So how do they deal with this pressure now?
Well, they're going to play the winner of New York or Atlanta.
Tough game.
If you play New York. but in all seriousness, I think there's massive pressure.
Yeah.
I think huge pressure comes with... They've kind of earned the pressure by being so dominant. Mm. And you're right. It doesn't tend to translate to winning an MLS Cup. Something just tells me that they won't. And I don't have the reason. It's just because it comes down to the win or go home.
Yeah.
They've been so dominant, but I just think there's so much pressure on now. there's no reason why NYCFC or Atlanta couldn't go there and get a result. Yeah, of course it'll be hard. It'll be really tough. Fans will be behind them. They'll be celebrating. You know, they're halfway to a conference final already before a ball's kicked. But I think it's going to be tough. I think all eyes are on them and they have to be the heavy favourite.
They do, yeah. And you look at their home record as well. They've won 12, unbeaten in 15 out of 17 matches. Mm. Against teams that we've said, you probably look at East this year as being a stronger conference than the West. So they are playing the East teams and they've come out and got a really good record. So, I think the pressure is on. How they deal with it, we'll wait and see. They lost their last game of the season at home to Inter Miami. I'm sure Inter Miami fans were very frustrated at that, wondering where that's been all season. We were hoping to bring you a clip of how Ray Hudson reacted to the goal. Unfortunately, the only clip I can find is on the Inter Miami Twitter page, and it cuts him off as he says, Blaise Matuidi scored, and he says, a champagne goal from the Frenchie. And then it cuts him off. So I don't know if he said anything after that. I don't think he would have done, but I can't find it anywhere else. So we will try and get some clips of Ray Hudson throughout the season for our episodes in the next few weeks before the end of the year. Something that I did like, actually, about this is that Inter Miami, in credit to Inter Miami, you have got to give them credit. They took some away fans to New England, which is a fair distance, is a fair trek. And we don't often see that, actually, in MLS. Phil Neville went over, picked a fan out who got a sign saying "I'm kicking cancer," brought him on the pitch. They all had a photo with him. They give him shirts and the pink jacket that Poppy loves. One of the players gave him his shorts. I don't.
Can I have one?
Yeah, something that I hope she doesn't want. One of the players give him his shorts, which after a full game, I don't think they'd be quite. I wouldn't really want. You know, even if I was a big Inter Miami fan, I don't think I'd want the shorts worn after 90 minutes. But Inter Miami finish 11th. He just wasn't quite there all season, was it? They did threaten to make the playoffs in about September time, but he just fell away. Too many defeats, big defeats at home, I think.
You'll be more objective than me. How do they fix it? Was the answer Phil Neville?
I don't think it was. To be fair to Phil Neville, I don't think he's done a really bad job. I know we were expecting more from them, but...
Would Bruce Arena have got that roster in the playoffs?
He probably would, yeah. But, I mean, it's Bruce Arena. That's like saying, would Sir Alex Ferguson have kept Norwich up this season? He probably would have done.
No.
But I think next season's a big year for Phil Neville. If they need to build on it. I mean, Miami need to get in the playoffs. They only got in the playoffs last year because they extended it to like 50 teams. So this year they're 7 points off seventh place. Next year is the year. For me, if they keep the likes of Matuidi, Higuain next year is going to be interesting to see how he is because his brother's retiring, so he's not got that there. I don't know how much of an influence his brother is on him, but I can imagine it is an influence on him. They've brought in some English players in like Gibbs and Shawcross, so they've got that there. I think they just need what?
I mean, when you say it like that, let's just lock in the not making the playoffs now.
I think they need some more MLS experience. That would be my, what I'd be looking at in the close season. But again, because of what they've done previously with signings, they're already starting off on the back foot because they've been penalised. So it's going to be difficult next year. It really is.
I think sometimes you can play worse players with MLS experience and it will count for something. Mm. You know, it's all right having all these superstars, but I think sometimes you just need someone who they're mentally, their head's in the game, they're in the rhythm of doing this season over and over and over again. And, you know, if you drop someone like Michael Bradley in that team, it's not going to make them worse.
No, I mean, you look at Nashville, they don't have a Higuain, they don't have a Blaise Matuidi. Right. You know, Mukhtar's played very well and he's been a better player this year than either of them two have just mentioned. But they've got the MLS experience in there and that counts for something.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking elsewhere in the East, finding it hard not to just give a quick mention to Philadelphia because Shield winners last year, finished second again this year. Okay, long way off New England, but that's good. That's consistent. And they really have been consistent for season after season after season.
They have, yeah. And it's going to be really intriguing this season because if you remember 2 years ago, they played Red Bulls. They got the first ever playoff victory. Last year, they were going into it as supporters, Shield holders. Everyone was expecting them, like New England this year, expecting them to do really well. Didn't work out. Ironically, they did lose to New England in their first game. So this year, they're going into it. They're not heavy favourites. They've got home matches throughout. This could be the year that we really see Philadelphia flourish in the playoffs.
They've got a home tie, but crucially, it's against Red Bulls, who are not going to be travelling far. Mm-hmm. But I do fancy them to win that game quite easily.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Red Bulls, they've had a tremendous run at the end of the season. I think they've lost 1-12, so that'll be a tough game. But Philadelphia at home, I watched them against Cincy, and okay, I know it's Cincinnati. It was 2-0. It should have been 10-0. But they were so controlling, and they can do that at home. They can really control the ball. They can pass it around really well. They've got the players up at the top, like the likes of Shabilko, who can get them a goal. They've got some great young players as well. I was really impressed when I watched them against Cincy. I mean, I have been all season, to be honest, but I was that particular game, I was really impressed. A draw away to New York City FC is a good result, but if they can now take this form, this end-of-year form, and if they can take it into the playoffs, like I said, there's no pressure on them. They've got home games. This could be the year.
Well, they played Nashville. It was a 1-1 tie. Nashville go into these playoffs heavy favourites for me.
Yeah, I mean, Nashville end the season with an unbeaten home record. You said there they ended the season 1-1 at home to Red Bulls. But they've drawn 9. They've won 8 and drawn 9 at home. They're unbeaten, but that's a lot of games where they've drawn. And I know that in the playoffs, yeah, you draw, you go to extra time. Could that be something that might go against them? The fact that quite clearly they've got an issue with turning some of those results around?
I think it works both ways. Mentally, when they set up at Nissan Stadium, they know they're unbeatable. They've not been beaten there. That's all season, and you might.
And now they're going to move from that stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Logic.
Maybe just stay a little longer. But I think when you know, even if you go into extra time, you've still got that mentality still with you. We don't lose here, so it's going to be really, really tough. It's Orlando that have to go there and try and get a result. But I think anyone would struggle. I think it's a really tough fixture, and I can't give enough praise for Nashville and for Gary, and what a great job he's done there, because they really were, I think their chances were massively downplayed. I don't think there's anyone who isn't surprised to see them there. Obviously, going back to the start of the season, you know, you didn't expect it. And maybe if you look at the table in the summer, you think, okay, yeah, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But to finish where they did, I think is really, really, really impressive. And I think they're a great little club.
I know I've spoke about it with, Columbus, with Toronto. Their season, they played a lot of games at home first, and then they having to catch up away. So it wasn't a fluid season. It wasn't home 1 week, away the next week. It must be difficult to adjust. Away form, that's what worries me with Nashville. Don't get me wrong, at home, despite the fact that this is the playoffs, despite the fact that we've seen constantly year after year that teams can go into the playoffs with great form, great seasons, especially at home or away, and then just get battered in the first game, which I'm sure you hope happens in this one. But Nashville will, the longer they progress, they will only be at home for so long.
Yeah.
Because they finish third. So as soon as they play away, that's where I think they might come unstuck.
Yeah, obviously if they were to play Philadelphia, they'd be away. So if they beat Orlando, it's likely they could play Philadelphia, and then it really is in the lap of the gods. So I do fancy them. I think they've got a great chance, for as long as you've got Zimmerman on the pitch and you've got Mukhtar up top. I think they really are going to be, they're going to be a force. They're going to be one of my picks with New England, definitely.
So let's talk about Red Bulls then, because they got in right at the end. They were already there. They were in seventh. In fact, no place in the East actually changed on decision day. So it was kind of decided before decision day in the East. But Red Bulls, they end the season with one defeat in 12. Is that going to put them in good stead going into the playoffs?
Absolutely. Now's the time to be in form. You'd rather that than have done that at the start and then sort of fall away. But for me, you have to ask yourself the question, is that a true representation of where they are, or have they just put a run together? For me, they've put a run together. Nothing's changed too much in that time, other than, you know, they've tightened up and they've ground out results. It's impressive, but I don't think it's a true representation of where that team is. I think realistically, they're more where they were earlier in the season, in around the summer, in and around into Miami.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, credit to Red Bulls, because I think this is the 12th year in a row they've hit the playoffs, and there has been much better Red Bulls teams in the playoffs over the years that have not done anything. So I think if you ask Red Bulls fans, like I said, you know, where they were in September, 10 points behind in the playoffs, it's a bonus that they're there. So I'm sure a lot of them will be like, well, we didn't expect this, so let's just see where we go. Can they go to Philadelphia and win? Of course they can. It's going to be tough, though. And I actually agree with you. I think this Red Bulls team have put a good run together. And and as I said, with a lot of teams, it could be something that they take into next year. But will it be enough to take them into the playoff positions and places and challenge MLS Cup? I don't think so.
I have to say, despite the run, which is impressive, I'd probably have them as quite a low seed in this year's playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I think we're going to do our playoff bracket next week, so we'll see if you've changed your mind before then. We kind of skipped over New York City FC. They drew at home to Philadelphia. Let's talk about them. We mentioned Castellanos got the golden boot in the end. I mean, he's been key for them, hasn't he? 19 goals, a lot of assists as well.
And bizarrely had a time when he was struggling to score.
Yes, he did. You know, they... New York City FC, when I'm looking here at the table, have, you know, they their home form, they've won 10 at home. They have managed to creep in and get that home match. They play in Atlanta, but that home match, does it depend where it is? Does it depend if they're playing at the Yankee Stadium or the Red Bulls Arena? Can they continue this form? How do you see New York City FC going into the playoffs? Because I've seen a few people saying that they're their dark horses to win the thing.
I understand that. I understand why people would say that, but I think there's always a reason why you don't put your money on New York City FC, and that's they don't feel like a club because they don't belong anywhere yet. And I mean this with respect. We've seen them play at City Field. That was horrific. The netting up in the playoffs and even at Yankee Stadium, no one wants to see a playoff game played there. It's awful. It is awful.
If you support the Yankees, you do. But true.
So I think for those reasons, it 100% works against you. It's the fine margins, isn't it? It's the small details. That's what can count against you, especially in these win or go home games. You know, you walk into City Field, you're like, oh, we're not used to playing here. You walk into Red Bull Arena, you're like, why are we playing here? You know, they've ironically got that fourth place, that home advantage, and they could end up playing at Red Bull Arena. So for me, I think Atlanta and Orlando, harsh, because they've finished on the same amount of points as New York City, but like you say, correctly point out, they've won 10 games at home, which is more than Atlanta, more than Orlando. So can they make that count wherever they play?
We'll have to wait and see. Well, I guess there's four teams yet to talk about, but two teams in the playoff picture. And we've purposely kept them till last because we get told sometimes that Atlanta and Orlando get a bias on this podcast. But let's start with a team that finished higher in the standings. So that would be Atlanta. Atlanta went and won at Cincinnati. I mean, this is... For me, Atlanta were always going to get in the playoffs. However, from looking at an Atlanta point of view, you look at the points they dropped at home to New York City FC, Toronto, two late goals, which meant that they drew. You kind of, even though Atlanta were quite far down in the summer months, you still, from an Atlanta point of view, I'm looking at that and thinking, we should have been second, which going off how they started is quite an achievement. But 3 points off Philadelphia... You think, well, if that's, you get 4 points if they would have held on against NYCFC and Toronto.
I think that's the problem with this season, though, is the congestion's caused every team to have that blip. And I think, rightly, you look into Atlanta's because that's the team that you support. I could do the same for, you know, games we lost against Chicago, for example. I think everyone's had, even New England have had a blip against Inter Miami. Yeah. You know, I think every team's had that. So... probably a bit difficult to say, oh, well, they should have been here, or, you know, Nashville should have been second, or because everyone's dropped points here, there, and everywhere this season, unfortunately. For me, my question to you is, where Red Bulls put that run together, okay, Atlanta have turned things around. it's not been as brutal, you know, brutal handbrake turn as Red Bull's. Yeah. Is that fifth place in the East? Is that where Atlanta United are at? Do they go into these playoffs with a chance? Or are they still, with the exception of Joseph and a couple of other players, a very, very average MLS team? It's not a loaded question.
No. Going off the performance when they played Orlando, they had a few games in about September where we won 3 or 4-0. Mm. That team playing that, and Joseph didn't really, he wasn't really playing much of that. He was coming on, he'd play the odd, 10 or 15 minutes here and there. That team showed me potential. That team showed me that actually Atlanta could get back to the Miggy days, you know, where it's fast-flowing, counter-attacking football, possession football, and it's just exciting to watch. Have they showed that enough since Pineda's come in? I don't think so. I think they've shown that they can do it, and that's the style he wants to play, but I don't think they've shown it enough. I don't think the away form's been that good. I think they still struggle. I think the Philadelphia game showed me that I don't necessarily trust them away, but do I think they're fifth in the... in the East, possibly. I'd put them in the same. If you look at the playoff teams, I've definitely put them in the top seven. So, and the fact that three of them have finished on the same points shows me that I don't think either team's that far away from each other than New England.
Better team than DC? Better than Columbus? I'm only asking because it's a hard question.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine margins. I think Atlanta have pulled a record together at the right time. And that's probably why they're in fifth over DC Columbus. But if Atlanta had finished ninth and Columbus had put that run together, I'd have probably said, actually, Atlanta deserved to be there. So it is fine margins. But as an Atlanta fan, all I'll say is that I'm more excited about this team than I have for a few years now. So that says something.
Final question on Atlanta.
Yeah.
As an Atlanta United fan, why are you dressed like Timber Joey?
I'm hoping to take some of Portland's form into the playoffs with me, and hopefully Atlanta will be able to go to New York City and win.
To quote Poppy off of the kit reviews, you've come dressed as the pitch.
Yeah. Funny you mentioned that. Somebody pointed out earlier in the season that the last time, if you remember, Poppy chose Seattle as a favourite kit. The last time she did that, Seattle won MLS Cup.
Ooh.
So don't be thinking that Seattle's out of it just yet.
Very good point.
Let's round off the decision day then with Orlando. You finished sixth in the end. You managed to, I don't think you managed to scrape in. I thought you were going to lose to Montreal, so fair play. You won 2-0 in the end. But does it feel like that after the start you had, does it feel like you've just scraped in?
I think we did scrape in. I think it was every chance we lost that game. It's away. There's nothing wrong with losing away at Montreal. If it was the middle of the season and Orlando lost away at Montreal, no one would bat an eyelid. It's a tough game. They did well. They did play well. Couple of decisions, goals disallowed, etc., which I do believe to be correct. However, I want to bookmark this moment. If we can just make a note of this moment, because there's a lot I want to say on Orlando. It's quite polarizing. It's quite critical. I'm not impressed with this season whatsoever. But I think it would be weird for me to just go in on them when they've just made the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the playoffs, if I'm honest. I think there's much better teams in the playoffs. And I'd kind of rather wait until they are inevitably eliminated to come back to it, because I know we'll do a season review. But the bottom line is, the headline, which I will delve into more further down the line, is I don't believe the coaching staff got the best of what is a very good roster.
Oh, so there you go. If there's any a reason to subscribe to the MLS UK show to hear what Elliot's true feelings on Orlando's season is, then that's to do it. So we've got a couple more episodes before the end of the year, so I'm sure he'll reveal all then. Right, rounding off the East End, just to say that the playoff matches, we've got New England Revolution, who've got a bye in the first round, New York City FC versus Atlanta, Nashville v Orlando, Philadelphia versus Red Bulls. By the way, I know we're going to do our playoff preview next week, but if you want to get in early with your playoff predictions, please send them in at MLS UK show. Tweet us, Instagram us, speak to us in the comments on YouTube, and we'll read them out next week. Before we go, let me just say a bit of positivity for you. You sounded quite down there, even though Orlando are in the playoffs. A bit of positivity is that the last time on the last episode, the predictions, you won.
Yeah, people tweeted me about this. A few results people picked out and said, oh, Elliot got that. Got that one.
You got New York City FC to win 3-1 at Inter Miami. And
was it
won.
RSL I got?
I think you did. Yeah, you won 30 points to 25 anyway.
I think I picked an RSL draw and it happened.
Yeah, so well done. I mean, you're losing 4-7. so I don't know whether we've got enough episodes for you to claw it back. But hey, we're not playing for anything anyway. We're actually playing for the insides of Orlando City's trophy cabinet. So
I think we won a pre-season tournament once, but there's not much else there.
Right, we're going to, we've actually had a planned crisis, right, but we're going to do that next episode now because we're running out of time. But before we do, I think it's, we should round off the West of teams in Henry's Guide to North America. Although we have still got Nashville to do. And as of next year, Nashville, of course, will be in the West because they've moved. Charlotte are moving to the East. So to round off the West in Henry's Guide to North America, Elliot, it's now time for Henry's Guide to Seattle,
which is funny because they are famous for their country music.
Yeah, mainly grunge, but maybe a grunge country kind of hybrid. Hey Elliot.
Hey Henry.
Did you know that Seattle is in Washington State?
Yes.
Not to be confused with Washington, D.C. It has a population of 700,000.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a Seattle enthusiast, so you're going to you're gonna have to try harder.
Okay, well, it's not the capital of Washington, though. Olympia is. Seattle was called Seattle because of Chief Seattle, who was a prominent Native American leader. He helped people settle in the area during like the Gold Rush, so that's why it was called Seattle. It's famous for the Space Needle. If you don't know what I mean by the Space Needle, you'll see it and you'll know what I mean. Yeah, it's famous in Seattle. There is an observation deck right at the top and it has a bar there as well. So I don't know about you, but I think if I was to have a few drinks and be a bit drunk, I wouldn't like to be that high in the air.
No, I could do without that.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go down the steps again. Do you know when you kind of hold your eyes? Seattle was home to the first female mayor in the US, Bertha Knight Landers, in 1926. 30 years earlier, though, in 1889, 40 years earlier, that shows my maths for you. The Great Seattle Fire destroyed the Seattle business district, but instead of clearing it away and starting again, we just built it on top of it. So some areas of the business district is actually 22 feet above the original city. Seattle is known as well for its famous Pike Place Market. It started in 1906. It's the oldest operating farmers market in the US. The reason it started was over the price of onions. Onions across the country were rising up. People didn't like it. So farmers decided, right, well, we're going to start a market. We can sell them for what we want. And it became so popular. And it's still there today.
Wow.
If you go to the back of it, there is the famous gum wall. So,
is that what I think it is?
Tourists, yeah, no. They come and they will put their used gum on the wall. It actually looks quite nice because it's different colours. It's like a mosaic.
Not in these COVID times.
No, I wouldn't go and touch it or lick it for that matter. But that's years of that. And people pose for photos in front of it. They also pose for photos in front of a giant bronze pig that is outside the market and they've called it Rachel. I don't know why it's called Rachel.
Well, I've got an ex-girlfriend. I've got a few ideas, but...
Has she been to Seattle before?
Maybe.
Seattle is second only to New York for the place with the most live music performances per capita. Famous foods in Seattle are oysters. They are the largest farmers of oysters in the US. They also like their geoduck, which may sound like a Pokemon, but it's not.
Geoduck, go!
It's a shellfish that's like a sea slug-looking thing in a shell. Doesn't sound appetising, but apparently it's quite nice. They're also famous for the Seattle dog, which is a hot dog. But instead of ketchup and mustard, they use cream cheese on the inside of the bun.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Famous people from Seattle include Jimi Hendrix, Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight Schrute from the US Office.
Legend.
Macklemore, the original Batman and Mayor of Family Guy, Adam West. And then a lot of footballers are from Seattle. We've got Jordan Morris, Hassani Dotson, Marcus Hanneman, Casey Keller, so it's a prime place for 90s goalkeepers. Anthony Hudson, Weston McKennie was born just outside Seattle as well. Caleb Porter and Brian Schmetzer. So if you're looking for a head coach or a goalkeeper from
good
the 90s,
good place to go.
Good place to go. There are also three of the top 10 billionaires in the US were from Seattle. Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer and Jeff Bezos.
Wow.
And that's probably why that half of adults, half of people over 25 in Seattle have a degree. It's the most intellectual place in America.
It's where we belong.
The original Starbucks was in America. There's more cats and dogs than children in America, in Seattle, sorry. The original Starbucks, I should say, in Seattle. And finally, we love a museum, don't we? We've had quite a few.
Yeah.
We've had the Spam Museum in Minnesota, the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and the Museum of Funeral History in Houston. Seattle has the Museum of Bad Art.
Wow.
And that, Elliot, was Henry's Guide to Seattle. Now we've only got one more left.
Nashville, baby!
Woo! If anyone has any facts that you'd like me to say about Nashville, please get in touch at MLS UK Show. Right, well, that's it. We are actually, I know we do an episode normally every fortnight, but we are going to do one next week ahead of the playoffs. There's no matches this weekend, only international matches. Good luck to the US and Canada in their quest to make the World Cup. And then we'll be back with our playoff preview episode.
Before we go, let's round off with the game with the changing name reveal. This player played for Midtjylland, West Ham United, 194 appearances for West Ham. Went to an MLS team on loan, which I can tell you now is SKC.
Yep.
Played 10 times.
Yep.
And was at Brentford last season. That completely passed me by.
No, I remember that. How many games? He mustn't have played many games for them.
11.
Yeah. Is this person from New Zealand?
They are. Auckland.
Auckland. It's Winston Reid, isn't it?
It is Winston Reid. Yeah. Good work.
Well done if you got that right too. Give yourself a pat on the back and we'll do another one next time.
Yeah. We'll catch you for the playoff preview in the next episode. What could possibly go wrong?
From a very jubilant Elliot Holman, the fact that Orlando have made the playoffs again 2 years in a row. Congratulations.
Get in!
And all I've got to say is I'm glad Atlanta are in. And see ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.